Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hello, welcome to Going Off Track. I'm Jonah, joined by everyone.
Yeah, Jonah.
Hey,
we got Benny, here. Steve, Stephen, Brad, the whole crew's here.
Who'd you call Steve?
It's okay.
Are you cool?
I don't get offended.
Cool,
I don't care.
I call him Steve because I feel like it's too confusing if I say call you guys both Steve.
People can hear the PH and the V.
Yeah.
Okay. I think one of you needs a nickname though.
Oh, yeah.
Who will take on Flounder? None? Neither?
Isn't that from Animal House?
That is from Animal House.
It is.
Pinto.
Why? Why not?
What's going on, Joe?
Yeah, what's going on with me?
We're about to listen to a podcast.
We're about to listen to a podcast. This is a podcast we taped a little while ago.
Are you driving? Watch out.
If you're driving, pay attention to the road.
10 and 2.
If you're jogging, that's fucked up, and don't listen to us if you're riding a bike.
I was in a car ride in Ecuador, and the guy had a TV in the middle console where we were watching like skate videos and stuff, and I was like, this is crazy, man. I've never seen this. He's like, yeah, you can't, like, they don't have this anymore. Or this is not legal in the States. Like, you can't just have a TV. It's, like, so distracting.
Dude, I was driving down the highway one time, and there was a woman with a fucking TV in the seat next to her driving and looking at it, and I fucking lost my shit. I fucking rolled down the window and started screaming at her, man.
Really?
So pissed.
You didn't like what she was watching that much?
So
you're disrupting
pissed.
My programs. Be quiet. Is that what she said?
These are my stories.
These are my stories.
It was infuriating. Yeah. She didn't even look up. That was even worse. I thought, should I run her off the fucking road?
And then you're like, no, I can just wait 15 years and everyone will be staring at TVs everywhere they go. Yeah. And it will drive me even crazier.
I constantly walking down the street, I'm like, heads up.
Yeah.
Heads up.
Yeah, yep. Yeah, yeah,
dude.
Yeah. Take it out.
I looked at a phone mount for my bicycle. And then I started thinking, what am I doing?
Well, if you're using it to like track stuff, though, like your mileage and speed, and
dude,
I'm using it to take videos of my sick tricks that I'm always doing.
Have you guys seen Steven's BMX tricks?
Yeah, fuck yeah, dude!
Are you going to BMX?
Shred
no.
the gnar,
no. Wow,
constantly.
You think Kelly Goldsworthy drives and texts at the same time?
No, never. No, yeah. She seems very responsible.
Very responsible.
Yes, today's guest on the podcast
nice
is Kaylee Goldsworthy. Goldsworthy. Sorry, it's been a long day. But she's great. Been a friend of mine for a long time. And she is a solo artist, has played with a ton of people, did the Revival tour, and is now in The Mermaid, which is Dave, our friend of the podcast, Dave Hawes's band.
Very, very capable band he's playing with.
Oh, then
good group.
They're playing a show. Wow, Benny, this is very Jersey.
Oh, I'm playing this show. Actually, you're about to
August
mention.
24th, House of Independence with Jared Hart.
And I am playing drums for Jared Hart that
yeah.
day. I will be playing at this show.
Yeah.
Actually.
So if you want to go to the show, you can see Dave, you can see Kaylee, you can see Jared Hart, and you can see Benny.
Benny will put all of you on the list.
And yeah. I will wear a costume.
What are you going to wear? Cowboy
animal.
Outfit.
Animal first.
And following
animal?
This?
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Following this?
That's a bold vegetarian statement for
Thank you,
animal first.
Thank you.
They know
why? you know, fuck it, Steven.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, fuck it.
Following this, they'll be going on tour with, it looks like, Tiger Army.
Nice.
And then with Frank Iero. So.
Oh, nice.
And they're on tour a lot. Yeah. And they're on tour basically till December 2nd. Oh, and this bringing it full circle from my last podcast, the last few shows are with Beachlang.
Nice.
So shout out, in case you didn't hear our last podcast, shout out to Ed from Beachlang for donating $4.20 to the podcast.
Yep.
But yeah, Kaylee
and
came
Ren,
by.
And Ren, thank you too.
Yes. And Ren, thank you too for all your donations.
Seriously.
And yeah, Kaylee was here visiting, so it worked out great. She used to live here and bartend near me, and she's awesome. So let's listen to this podcast, Going Off Track with Kaylee Goldsworthy.
It's going off track!
Yeah.
I mean, this is like, it's going to be super casual.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. I was like, yeah. Did I even ask him what I'm supposed to be like?
Yeah, yeah. No, don't worry about it. I took all these notes and I forgot them all at home.
Perfect.
But yeah.
Great. This
yeah.
is going to be great.
But you memorized them.
But I memorized them all.
Here we are.
Here we are. Thanks for coming by.
Of course. Thanks.
I always associate you with Zablowski's.
Yeah.
The bar you used to work. Because I feel like that's where we met, maybe. Or, like, we sort of knew each other, but then I feel like...
Yeah, I think we knew each other from, like, shows or friends
yeah.
or something. And then the fact that I worked there didn't hurt our friendship.
Yeah, yeah. That was, like, my, like, Music Hall Williamsburg pregame spot.
Yeah. A lot. It was a lot of people's.
Yeah.
Pregame. Music Hall Williamsburg spot. And I actually pregamed before I played Music Hall Williamsburg last time.
Oh, nice.
It was a really nice, like, full circle moment
yeah, yeah.
for me.
That's great.
Yeah.
So you are living in Nashville now.
I do. I live in Nashville now.
How long have you been there for?
Just over a year. I moved in June.
Okay. And you were in, where were you before that?
I was living in Orange County, California before that. I was working primarily out of Los Angeles with a band out there. And then Brooklyn before that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you've been, do you like Nashville?
I do like Nashville. I have kind of like mixed thoughts on it, and it might just be kind of like where I'm at in my life.
Yeah.
For Nashville too, because I think a lot of people, like, there's so much that's awesome about that city. And the longer I'm there, the more I appreciate it. But I also think that there's a lot about that city that's like growing at such a rapid rate that it's kind of like New York in a sense where like you have to kind of measure your quality of life versus like what you're getting out of it. Cause it's a very expensive city to live in, but it's not New York and it's not Los Angeles.
Right.
And like you leave Nashville and you are in the South, you know, like it's just this tiny little blip. It's such a cool town, but like outside of it, there's, you know, a lot of cool stuff, but it's not like living in New York or living in Los Angeles where you can kind of go out and travel and see a little bit more. So
it seems like there's so many dudes from bands.
That's the other thing is that at first I thought like, all right, well, I'm going to give this a shot because I wasn't touring at the time. And I just decided like, I don't want to focus on writing right now. I just want to focus on like getting better and getting better at playing music. And my first instrument is actually violin. So I was like, I'll just move to Nashville and try and just play more.
Play some fiddle.
I'm not a very good fiddle player because I feel like it's something that you kind of like, it's not something you can learn. It's something you're taught.
Right.
Like, you know, like I feel like fiddle players, like legit fiddle players are just, you learn like from a family member or a friend
right.
or
around
a campfire.
Music.
Exactly.
Right.
And I feel like being like a classically trained violinist, you can learn it, you can study it, but like you'll never have that like base level understanding of why.
Right. It's like going
way.
To Berkeley to play the blues, right?
Yeah. I mean, yeah, like you'll technically
like
understand
Mayer,
it.
Dude.
Right? I know.
Come on, man.
This is true.
Did John Mayer go to Berkeley?
Yeah, dude.
But
yeah.
only
drop
for
out.
Like a year.
Yeah. Berkeley dropout.
Yeah.
Yeah. Most people drop out, right? Isn't
people
that kinda...
you hear of all dropped out.
Yeah.
I bet you Dream Theater didn't drop out.
They're still going.
They're still there.
So what, I know you play like 95 instruments, is that right?
I play a few.
Okay.
Yeah.
What was your...
wait a minute. I want to hear this. So what do you feel really proficient on? Because...
I honestly think my number one, like, would be the violin. And I didn't realize that until much later. Because, like, you know, you start playing violin or, like, a different classical music as a kid and you grow up through elementary school and high school and you're playing an instrument or whatever. And then, like, around junior high is when I started getting into punk music and playing in bands. So I immediately transitioned to guitar and just started playing more of that. And then started playing piano because we just had instruments in the house growing up.
Right.
So I grew up playing primarily violin, guitar, piano, and singing. But now, like, to this day, like, if, you know, like, playing with Chuck every once in a while, he'll throw songs at me. I just don't, like, have a real, like, I may know the song, but I don't know how to play it. You know, but if I've got my violin with me, it's okay. Like, you know, I can kind of, like, that's right. The instrument that I can improvise and work it out and just, like, look and see what somebody's doing and be like, okay, I got this.
That's, like, your foundation.
That is my, like, go-to. That's my rock. And then guitar comes kind of second nature to that. And then piano, I think.
So your parents, were they musicians?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. That's how they met. My mom auditioned for my dad's band.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
What kind of band was it?
I think they were called, she did get in. I think she was after, like, the drummer, the bass player, and my dad was the guitar player. I don't know the exact story about this, but she...
Maybe you don't want to know.
Oh, I do. I really do. I really do. I'm sure I'll find out someday. But I think it was a band called, like, Hijinks.
Okay.
And my dad writes music, so I know that there was some original stuff, but they actually had a band together until I was in high school. Like, and they were playing, like, cover songs, and they introduced me to, like, No Doubt and Garbage and Hole and Veruca Salt and, like, all of these female-fronted bands. They were like, you got to listen to this, you got to listen to that. And my dad would be, like, throwing, like, we would listen to Blink-182 when my mom wasn't home. Like, you know, like, that sort of stuff, and the Ramones. And so they were always kind of the ones siphoning music through my sister and myself.
And you're a twin, right?
I am an identical twin, yeah.
Okay. Is your sister also into, like, the same kind of music or different stuff?
Yeah, we pretty much, like, we kind of cross over and listen to a lot of different stuff, primarily because of our parents. But, yeah, like, even still, when we hang out, I'll be like, have you heard this? Or she'll do the same thing and be like, you got to check out somebody's new record. Or it's cool. We kind of, like, go back and forth between, like, different phases where I'm, like, really into, like, electronic music right now or something like that, and just kind of pass it back and forth because she lives in Chattanooga, so I get to see her a little bit more frequently now.
Okay.
Which is cool.
So we have this segment on the podcast called Mystery Friend, where we have one of your friends ask a question or ask you to tell a story, and you have to tell the story and then guess who it was.
Wait, what?
Like, I didn't explain that very well. Like, I'm going to ask you this question that was submitted by one of your friends.
Wait, okay.
And then
you should guess the friend. And
I was just going to ask, do I know them? But I guess
you definitely know them.
Well, if it's you asking them, my friends.
And I believe, I'll double check it, but someone wanted to hear a story about you joining the Revival Tour in Pittsburgh.
Oh, okay.
Who do you think would ask about that?
Shit, I don't know.
But you can tell the story. You can think about it if you want.
All right.
But I don't know what happened.
Okay. Well, did we meet at the Revival Tour?
We probably did, actually. That would actually make sense.
Okay. So, basically, I was in a band for 12 years with my sister called The Scarlet Ending. And we played a ton of shows, and we did, like, USO tours and stuff like that. And we played this tiny vegan cafe in Syracuse called Strong Hearts, which I was at last night. Still rules.
Nice.
And we played it with Chuck. And this was like 2010, 2009, something like that. So we played the show with them, and it was really awesome. And obviously, I have always loved and respected everything that Chuck has done. And we kept in, like, loose, mild touch, you know? And then one day, I had gotten, like, a Facebook message from him and was like, do you want to play the Revival Tour? I was like, this is not real. Like, this isn't, like, this is so bizarre. A Facebook message from Chuck about this. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And I had just moved to New York, and he was like, okay, cool. It's at Bowery Ballroom. We're going to do the first show, like, with you. And it's already sold out. And I was like, holy shit. I just moved to New York and I'm playing Bowery Ballroom with Chuck.
Oh, and that was
awesome.
The night they did, like, two nights.
Exactly.
They did, like, two shows back
exactly.
to back. Yes, I remember
so
this.
I was like, okay, so I, you know, I hadn't even thought about putting a solo record out. I was pretty much just doing work for my publishing company at the time, where I was just writing songs, as many as I could, and just kind of, like, saving them to the SoundCloud. So I think he heard them that way, or maybe I sent them to him at some point. I don't really remember. And then I went and I played, and it was awesome, and it was so rad and just a really cool experience. And then at the end of the show, he's like, want to stick around and do the next one? And I was like, oh, okay, well, what's that? And he's like, we start at midnight. And I'm like, okay, so all right, let's do it again. So I played the second show, and then that ended at like 3:30 in the morning, and we're all sitting in the green room, and I'm just still kind of like on this like high of the fact that I just had the honor of playing with a lot of people that I looked up to, like while I learned how to play music. And he was like, what do you do tomorrow? I was like, I gotta work tomorrow. Like I was waitressing on the Upper West Side, and he was like, you want to come to Pittsburgh? And I was like, yeah. Like I had that split second in my head where I was like, I just moved to New York. Am I a waitress, or am I gonna play music? Like, this might suck for me, like, but I'm not going to go to work tomorrow. Like, Chuck wants me to go to Pittsburgh. I got to drive to Pittsburgh. And he's like, all right, there's an extra bunk on the bus. And I was like, I've got a show, like, the following day in Oswego, New York. Like, there's no way I can hop on a bus in Pittsburgh, drive to Pittsburgh, and then, like, what? Then what? I'm, like, stuck in Pittsburgh. And I got to be in, like, upstate New York the next day. I was like, I got to go home and get my shit, and then I can come up and, like, go to Pittsburgh. He's like, well, it's already 4:30 in the morning. The bus is leaving in an hour. And I was like, I guess I'm going to meet you in Pittsburgh then, because I can't, like, I was living in East Meadow out on Long Island at the time.
Okay.
And I was like, I'm going to have to meet you there. So I like drove home, got home at like 7 o'clock in the morning. It's like a 9-hour drive to Pittsburgh. So I like immediately just packed up for my show in Oswego and like put my guitars and everything else in there. And then I drove to Pittsburgh.
I'm
like zero out. Yeah, probably. I don't know. I was so busy trying to find someone to cover my shift on that entire drive, and nobody was biting. So then,
as you're getting further away from your job,
anybody can help you out.
Nobody was picking up the phone. Everybody's like, sorry, I can't help you out. And so I like called my boss, and I was like, you know that I play music, like, you know how important this is to me. I have this opportunity that I just like really cannot pass up. I can't come to work today. And he's like, well, then you may as well not bother coming to work again. So like I immediately just like called my mom, and I was like bawling, and she's just like, well, you know, these are the decisions that you're making. and she was like, you know, she was super supportive, and she was like, you'll figure it out. Just go play a kick-ass show in Pittsburgh. I was like, okay. So like show up at, I think it was an altar bar. It's like a big church in Pittsburgh. And I show up and I'm like haggard as hell, because I just like, I didn't sleep at all. And I just drove to Pittsburgh and got fired. And I just like walked in, and Chuck's like, hey, Kaylee, how's it going? And I was like, I just got fired. And he's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, from my job. And then Dave Haas looks at me and he's like, fuck yeah, that's punk rock. And I was like, yeah, but what am I going to do tomorrow? Like, I was like, fuck, okay. So that's that. But then I played Pittsburgh with them, and then it was awesome. It was great. I got one of those sandwiches. Where's the sandwich place?
With the French fries on it.
The Primanti Brothers. Yeah, I got one of those.
I've never had one of those.
I've been to Pittsburgh once, by the way.
Somehow I know a lot about Pittsburgh.
Yeah.
I've only been there once.
Really?
Yeah.
The freeway, the sandwiches.
My brother-in-law went to college there. I went to his graduation.
We played there recently, and it was actually, I had a really good time. It was a beautiful day. There was a baseball game. We were like right by where all that stuff is. I went to the Andy Warhol Museum.
I love that.
It's really cool.
The 2 days I spent there, it was an amazing
city. It's a
city.
Cool town.
Cool city, like good food scene.
Yeah.
People are nice. Like it's really cool.
Yeah. It's a handsome town.
I agree. Nice architecture.
Yeah.
Who do you think submitted that question?
I'm trying to think of somebody that would know that that happened. It would have had to have. Was it Dave?
Yeah.
It was Dave.
It was Dave. That's funny because I was at that. That was, I just assumed you were on that whole tour.
No.
Because that was such a crazy lineup too. It was like Corey, Dave, like Laura.
Mm-hmm. Dan Andriano.
Oh yeah.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And just like, but how that whole tour just operates and functions is so incredibly inspiring. Like, you know, from seeing it, like you got to go from the beginning.
Right.
Otherwise you're going to miss something awesome. Like, it's so well thought out, and it's just like everybody that ends up on that tour, it's just a bunch of friends. Like, you know, I bought a ticket to the Revival tour the next year. And Dave saw me and was like, hey, Kaylee, what are you doing? Come say hi to Chuck. And I was like, I can't go back. Like, I bought a ticket. And I walked back and Chuck is talking to one of his friends. And his friend's like, how does the Revival Tour work? And he looks at me and goes, Kaylee, you want to play a song? And I'm like, sure. And he's like, that's how it works. And like, that's exactly what it is. And it's just so awesome. And I feel so, so lucky to have been a part of it. Even in just small little stints, you know, it was always so, so awesome and so welcoming. And I think especially when I first started playing solo music, and in New York, you feel kind of like you don't really know where you belong, because I didn't necessarily think that I fit in that like singer-songwriter realm. And then kind of like being able to play shows like that kind of opened up this, like they kind of opened up their arms to me, and it kind of made me feel like I belonged somewhere with my solo music, which was really, really cool.
And so obviously now you tour with Dave a lot.
I do.
Is that sort of how you guys met? Like, is that how you started kind of working together?
Yeah, we met through Chuck and the Revival Tour. We just kind of, like, I keep in touch with pretty much everybody that I've played with through that still. Make sure I, like, you know, if they play shows, I'll, wherever I'm living, you know, come by and hang out. And then when I was playing with Young and Sick out in Los Angeles, a lot of times we were on tour at the same time as Dave. So, like, we actually had a few dates overlap in the same city, and I would go and see him play, or, like, he'd add me on to, like, open a show. We loosely talked about the idea of having me play in his band in the past. And then once Bury Me in Philly was coming together, he contacted me about it again and asked me, like, what does your 2017 look like? And I had just moved to Nashville, and I was like, let's do it. Let's get on the road. And the record is just, it's so good. I really am so, so stoked to be a part of the live performance of it, because it's such a solid record from him. I really, really love it.
And I feel like the shows, like, I follow him, obviously, both of you guys on Instagram, like, those European shows also look so crazy. Like, they looked huge.
Insane.
Yeah.
Insane. We're going back in a couple of weeks, and I can't wait. Europe is so, so good to him and us. It's a blast.
Were you, I mean, obviously, like, Dave and Chuck and all those guys sort of come from, like, the punk world. I mean, is that something that you were... Were you into that stuff kind of prior to this as well? Or is that something?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, definitely.
Like, you listen a lot of like Earth Crisis and stuff growing up?
I didn't listen to a ton of Earth Crisis growing up, but I did definitely listen to Earth Crisis because of the fact that I'm from Syracuse. Yeah. And you can't not listen, like, a little.
I went to the first Syracuse Fest at Hungry Charlie's.
Damn.
Yeah, it was like 98 or something.
Damn. Did you go to Hellfest too?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I went to a couple of those. I was really into, like, that, like, Victory Records 90s, like, metalcore stuff.
That was a scary scene.
Yeah.
Frightening.
Yeah, and I
as
was,
a
like...
kid.
Yeah.
Syracuse is, you don't... Yeah, Syracuse is very prominent in that whole thing.
Yes.
So, yeah, I mean, I definitely did... I wasn't, like... I went to a lot of shows, like... A lot of my friends played in hardcore bands, so I definitely, you know, listened to a lot of stuff that was coming out of Syracuse, Rochester, especially. But ultimately, like, the band that I had with my sister was not a hardcore band by any stretch of the imagination. But, you know, they were, like, the Syracuse music scene was really awesome to us, too. And, like, we played really weird shows in Syracuse all the time. Like, we played a bunch of shows... with just, like, bands like Dillinger Escape Plan. Like, it made no sense, but, like, it did. Like, it was cool. Like, people were very receptive to that kind of thing, which is something that I think a lot of people don't necessarily realize about this, like, the hardcore scene in Syracuse, is that it seems like it's pretty, like, and it definitely is, like, there's a lot of really awesome things happening in it, but it's also, like, very cool to just... local bands as well. Like, we played a lot of shows that didn't make a lot of sense, and I was like, is this gonna be cool?
Did you guys ever play, what was that place, like, Westcott or
the something? Westcott Community Center?
Yeah
might
have
that was
there
that
college.
Show okay so like, they always put on, like, a sing-along where it's a bunch of, like, hardcore bands will do sing-alongs, and that's the show where my band actually played Earth Crisis, just so that we could get a mosh pit at a show, because we knew it would never, ever happen, ever.
That's amazing.
Did it work? Ever.
Yeah, yeah. And crowd surfing, and it was like, that. I've never experienced that in my shows before. And then, so yeah, we played Earth Crisis, and it went straight into Hearts Barracuda.
Wow.
So,
that's awesome.
So in a way, we had this like small victory where like we got to play Earth Crisis and Heart at the same time.
Yeah,
and then eventually people realized that they were moshing to Heart, which also just made me feel really awesome. It was a selfish decision, but it was pretty cool.
That's amazing. So how's your yoga practice going?
Not so great.
Yeah.
Not so great. Touring is not so great for yoga, I'm finding.
Yeah.
It's very difficult to do on a bus.
I'm sure.
Also, elephant in the room, I'm a girl. Not going to start practicing yoga on a bus with 11 dudes.
That's fair.
You know, just like I don't want anyone to make me feel uncomfortable, I too don't want to put anyone in a situation that might be deemed uncomfortable.
Right.
So yoga waits for when I'm not on tour.
What's your, like, what do you do on tour to kind of keep, like, do you, like, meditate? Like, how do you keep sane, I guess?
Yeah, like? I do. I try and run as much as I can. And that's kind of, like, it depends on the shower situation that we have. Like, the past few times we've had buses that have had showers, but that's not necessarily something I want to do every day. So I don't run every day. But if there's, like, a venue that has, like, a nice shower or something like that, I like to go for, like, long runs in different cities if I have the time.
Yeah.
Sounds interesting.
Yeah.
Good way to see the city.
Yeah, super cool way to see the city. I usually also, like, do a little bit of research and try and find, like, good restaurants or, like, I have the biggest sweet tooth ever. I always want to find like good dessert or something like that. So
best ice cream spot.
Yeah, exactly.
Homemade ice cream.
And I don't eat like a ton of dairy, so I try and find vegan ice cream if I can. Because just especially while I'm on tour, my allergies are always really, really bad. So I just like try and it seems like it's an active and healthy thing that I'm doing when in fact I'm just like running to restaurants to try and like scope out where I'm going
to
eat dinner or get
running
like late
to the
night
candy
ice cream.
Store.
But you know. Like, you know, I do try and do that. Otherwise, I just try and walk around a lot because it's hard sometimes to be super active, especially when you're in a bus.
Yeah.
In theory, you think it would be a little easier, but a lot of times our bus calls the past few tours have been like 4, 5, 6, 9 a.m. and we're driving through the day and then you just show up and then it's like, you know, load in showtime.
Right.
So.
Somebody needs to do like, do you know when you're on the airplane and they show you the little the stretches that you can do like in your seat? Have you ever seen that?
Yeah.
Oh yeah, I guess so.
They need to do like a bus exercise
like a bunk
program.
Video.
Yeah, because think about it, you could use the bunks to like do like stretches.
But the problem is that. And because I would love that because
but
also,
you'd have, if you got all the you know it wouldn't have to necessarily be yoga.
Yeah.
You know.
I don't care.
Right.
I would just anything to make me not feel like
just get everybody
I do
involved.
At the end of tour. I'm like, all of a sudden I come home and I'm like my elbows and like my wrists and just like my back. I'm like, what is happening?
So it's you like, should think about this. You could get this. You could come up with some exercises and then you could get everybody else on the bus involved. You could be like the.
I could just do bus aerobics.
Yeah, exactly.
You need to find like a physical therapist to team up with.
No way, man. That's too pro.
Just make stuff up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. By physical therapist, I mean Jonah.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Perfect. How is your yoga practice going?
My practice is going pretty good.
Yeah.
I had an injury a few years ago, the sciatica thing.
Right.
But I've been doing way better, and I've been practicing a lot lately. So it's going good.
So you kind of like asked me because you knew that it wasn't going well for me.
No. I know we had already talked about this, but I just love any excuse
like,
on the podcast
yeah, it's
to talk
going
about
really,
yoga.
Really well for
but
me.
Mine, yeah, now that you mentioned it, mine's going super well. So thank you for bringing that up.
I can still do a headstand, so I haven't lost everything.
That's great.
What I love is yoga on a stand-up paddleboard, which I have the opportunity to do when I am in Chattanooga, and my sister thinks I am a crazy idiot. Because it's just so fun. Because that like super challenges your balance.
Is
like
it,
trying to do
does
a headstand.
It move a lot?
Yeah, absolutely. You're not gonna like get it right the first time.
Yeah, yeah.
But it's fun to try.
Wow, that's very adventurous.
I mean, it's just the river.
Yeah.
It's not like. But I did then go to the aquarium the day after that, and they have an exhibit on what lives in the rivers there, and now I'm afraid. So now I am adventurous because I did do that once.
What do they have? They're eels or something?
They look like eels.
Right.
They have teeth, but they're supposedly afraid of us, but like I'm so much more afraid of them, for sure. I don't remember what they're called.
Lamprey.
Oh, God, they're just terrible-looking creatures. Like, eels scare the shit out of me anyways. Put teeth on them and make them larger, and I'm like, this is not for me.
That is scary.
How does an eel shock you? I don't understand that. Can you explain that?
It's only a certain species of eel.
Oh, it is? It's not all of them?
Not all eels are electric eels.
They're not.
But I think electric eels are ocean creatures, not freshwater.
Gotcha.
I believe. I'm not. This is just, I could be making this up.
I feel like I should actually know, and I have no idea.
Yeah, I for some reason thought you guys would know. Yeah.
I don't know.
Obviously, like, I'm sure, like, you're so used to traveling with a lot of dudes at this point. I mean, was it, like, at first, was it ever, like, weird? I mean, like, not personality-wise, but just, I mean, just setting-wise?
Not this go-around.
Yeah.
Not with Dave, and the rest of the guys in our band are super awesome, and all the bands that we've toured with have been super awesome. And for the most part, I've never really had an issue. There's definitely, like, you know, instances where you're like, you know, my little red flag will go up and I'm like, I'm going to avoid you. entire tour. For the most part, everybody's super respectful. I think also it's just kind of something that, because I've been touring for like 15 years at this point, I try really hard to just kind of like be one of the guys, you know, like I don't really feel as though I like super femme it up like at all. Like while I'm like, I don't know, I just try and like draw the least amount of attention to the fact that I'm a girl while still like curling my hair before a show and like wearing skirts and stuff like that, because I like doing that. But like, it's pretty good. Everybody like, I mean, you know, when there's a girl in your band, I feel like you kind of already know like, oh, right. Maybe she should be able to change in the back lounge, or maybe I shouldn't like just change in front of her. Like,
yeah.
You know what I mean? Like there's I know that there's definitely some things that I'm probably like, upsetting, like how usually just a bunch of dudes interact with each other, and because I'm there, so I don't know. I'd like to think maybe
probably
I raised the morale of the. I raised the morale of the group a little bit and keep it classier.
I was in a band with a girl. I don't think made a difference.
I would. Yeah, I don't. I don't. Like, that's. I kind of wonder what guys think about.
And she would
it,
just
honestly.
Eventually call. You know, after a while, just be like, "Look, guys, knock it off." Whatever it was, you know. Because it's true, like, you know, it's not the same. There are things
I was
gotta be aware of
for like 5 years, and she was just the only difference was that she was so much more responsible than any of us. And that's like a personality thing, but like, yeah, she had her shit together like 100 times more than any of us. Do you like being at home? Do you get like restless when you're not on the road for a while? Like, do you like having that balance? Like, where do you want it?
That's a tough question right now, because with how much I'm touring with Dave, I actually got rid of my apartment. And so I put all my stuff in storage, and I live with a couple of my friends in Nashville when I'm home. So I'm working on a bunch of other stuff right now at home, like at Nashville, that I'm really excited about. And so I was happy to be home this time. Like I did a bunch of recording with a new band, and I'm very excited about it. And it's with a bunch of guys in other like punk bands that are just in Nashville.
Yeah.
You know, it's super cool.
That's great.
With two of the guys in Save the Day, one of the guys in Dashboard, we just like play cool electronic music. It's
nice.
Weird and awesome. And so like this past time I was really pumped to be home because I knew that I was going to be working on something. Otherwise, like we kind of get this situation where I just drove up from Nashville and just am making like the friend tour of 2017 happen.
Yeah.
I'm just like going to see a bunch of people. I do get a little restless. I think it's also just because I haven't really lived anywhere super long. I just kind of bounce around.
How long were you in Orange County for?
2 years.
Because I would hate that.
It was tough. Like, it was under the guise of working with a band in Los Angeles.
Okay.
So I also drove to Los Angeles every day from Orange County.
But it's tough to like kind of take advantage of LA and then
you can't. Yeah, when you live that far away, you can't. And so it was funny because when I left Orange County, I was wondering like, should I move to Los Angeles or should I just be like, let's just try somewhere else?
Right.
So I just thought I'll try somewhere else.
What about Los Angeles is it that you decide? Because I feel like so many people are also like, I feel like Nashville and LA are big, like from New York, but it's spicy.
I love Los Angeles.
Yeah.
I still love Los Angeles. And it's funny because I do kind of feel at home. I feel at home first and foremost in New York. Like it just, I think I lived here the longest as an adult and that's what feels good. But I feel the same way in Los Angeles. There's so many friends that live out there now. And it's got a really cool, same sort of thing. Like a lot of people in bands move to Los Angeles and then just start like hanging out and playing music together and cool stuff happens. It's a cool place to be. And the weather can't beat that.
Weather's pretty good. Where in Orange County were you?
I was in Costa Mesa.
Okay, gotcha.
So I was like 10 minutes from the beach. Paradise. Like, and when I was touring, I really loved it. When I was touring, it was great because it was like you come home from tour and I'm like, wait, I actually live here. Like, it's holy shit, this is beautiful. And then when I stopped touring, I was like,
Did you ever go to that health food store, Mother's?
All the time.
Yeah.
The country breakfast is my favorite thing ever.
What's that? It is.
So it's a vegan spot. So they had the best tempeh bacon. And this, like, vegan biscuits and gravy. And it's the best. It's so good.
I used to date this girl whose parents, I used to live with her. Her parents lived in Corona Del Mar.
Oh, my God. It's so beautiful.
For, like, a month. Yeah, it's really nice.
I'm, like salivating thinking about it.
Yeah, I know.
I taught music lessons when I lived in Orange County, too. So I taught private music lessons to kids. And I would always make my lesson at Corona Del Mar at like 8 o'clock on Sunday morning. Like I was like the weirdest person ever because then I would just go for a run on the beach.
Yeah.
Like right after work.
Like PCH.
It was so beautiful.
And then run to the place to get food.
Exactly. You're learning all of my secrets.
They actually had like this ice cream place. I don't know if you ever went there, but like right on the PCH, like on in Corona Del Mar.
In Corona Del Mar.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Like right on the overlook.
I think it was like kind of little shack kind of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I never went.
It was awesome. I went there. They were kind of redoing it when I was there, and then I went. Yeah.
I think I know what you're talking about, though. It's like right, there's like a beach right by it, too. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a cool looking spot.
So have you been working on also solo stuff?
Yes and no.
I'd imagine you're pretty busy with all these people you're playing with.
Yeah. Well, so Dave and the Mermaid has obviously taken up most of my time, which I love doing because I get to play keys and guitar and a bunch of other fun instruments. And so that was kind of my main focus for the year. And then when I started doing that other band as well, and another couple other projects, but the one with Arun, I kind of was focusing on just trying to write as much as I could because I knew we were going to be recording. But in the process, like whenever you're writing, I'm always kind of writing for me too. Like, you know, like if I write, I'm just trying to like go through that creative process because being in a band with people, which I forgot about because I haven't been in a band in so long, is like it's, you forget that the accountability of other people expecting you to have your songs done is like such a good thing.
Right.
For a creative process. So it kind of like pushed me to finish songs that I had just kind of been like, oh, okay. And then it was like, oh shit, like we have studio time. I need to have these songs done. So that kind of also pushed me to like kind of work on more ideas. And I do, I have a bunch of new songs that like are kind of taking shape for the next whatever it ends up being. And I definitely will release more solo stuff, too. I'm just not sure quite the shape it's going to take. But even when we do the European run, like, we're doing 3 headline shows, and I'm supporting them, which is so awesome. Like, I love the fact that I am fortunate enough to have the opportunity to play my music as well as Dave's while we're out.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Do you have, like, a routine with, like, writing? Do you try to, like, wake up and do it, or is it to wake whenever you...
I try really hard. While I'm on tour, like the first tour, I was like, all right, just survive. Like, just survive and we'll figure this out. And then when it just started becoming, like, much more prominent, like, we were on tour more than we were off tour. I was like, okay, I need to, like, figure out how I'm going to do this. So I got really into tarot. Okay. And reading tarot cards, which makes a lot of people around you question what's going on. But, like, I would have my mornings on the bus, and every morning I'd go and make coffee, and I would, like, draw a tarot card. And I find it very insightful, but I was also kind of using it as a writing prompt, where, like, so often, I think, especially when you're trying to write, you think, like, what do I write about? You know what I mean? And whenever you can do anything that kind of, like, forces you to, like, look inward, that obviously helps, but you can only, like, look inward so much before you're like, am I writing the same breakup song that I wrote, like, three times over, you know? But I was, like, drawing a card every day and just kind of, like, doing research on that and being like, oh, why don't I think about this from, like, this angle or something like that? And then I would just write, like, just do, like, stream of consciousness, just writing. And I got in the habit of doing that every morning. And then I was just like, oh, writing's not so hard anymore, like, now that I have all of these ideas kind of, like, fleshed out. And then I would, at the end of the night, after
when
a
show. When you say stream of consciousness, you mean you just wrote prose?
I would just straight write. Like, I...
Like, you weren't trying to write a song?
Nope, not at all.
That's really interesting, because somebody told me that the best thing you can do in the morning for a creative person, and it doesn't matter whether you're a visual artist, musical artist, is to write with your with a pencil or a pen 2 pages. Of writing, whatever it is. It could be like a journal. It could just be like stream of consciousness. It could be your dreams.
2 pages.
Yeah. And there's something about the act of it and just the way it interacts with your brain that it just like, it just charges your creative batteries.
Ooh. I've been doing it on a laptop. I'm going to try it on this next tour with a notebook.
We did a podcast with Mark McCoy from Charles Bronson, and he writes every morning for 90 minutes. His Whoa. Notebook. And he's like, and I just have like walls of them. He's been doing it for like decades. And it's just like part of his like routine.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
It's like it's a muscle that you have to keep working on.
Yeah.
Because I mean, I'm no writer, but my wife is a writer and she every night writes in a journal, like has to keep it going.
That's so awesome.
And if she doesn't, like for like a couple days, she's like, oh, it's such a drag, blah, blah, blah. But
it's
once
like
she gets
working
back
out,
into
if you don't go to the gym for a long,
totally,
you just can't get back into
and
it.
And it's even like just writing about anything, what you did that day.
Yeah.
You know, just handwriting it in the journal. She has stacks of these journals.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah, I've read so many things about just the act of writing too. And so I just thought I need to start incorporating that in. And at first it started as just like, almost like journal entries of where I was, just because we were traveling so much. I was just like, I just need to like write. And then when I got into tarot and just trying to like write a little bit more like in depth based on like specific instances or perspectives and things like that, then it just kind of started. It's kind of like going to the gym. All of a sudden it got easier too. Like every morning you're like, I look forward to this.
Yeah.
And then I was able to write just like so much more. And I feel like, the past 2 years when I lived in California, after Young and Sick stopped touring, I played one show in the entire year. Like, I've never had a year like that before. And I think I, like, kind of took, like, a hiatus from everything. And then I was, like, I had to, like, fall back in love with music and why I did. And I think that kind of, like, trying to turn on that or, like, just work at that muscle again kind of sparked it all over again. But, yeah.
How did you get interested in the tarot stuff?
I've always kind of been interested in it. Just like when I was 16, like I was raised in like a very devout Catholic family. And my dad told us that he thought he was Wiccan when we were 16, which is like the craziest time to tell someone that you're changing religions. And I was like, wait, this is cool. Okay. Then I have some opinions about this as well. So I've always just been like very like into and aware of that sort of thing. And I think it can be a lot of different things for different people. But I've always been very much like interested in the universe and how it works. And, I think a lot of our lives are dictated by the intentions that we put out there and karma and just trying to keep your shit straight and make sure that everything is kind of like you know, you're doing the best you can with what you got. And so that kind of just came into it a little bit more over the past couple of years too, where I got like I got a vintage tarot deck like from the 70s, and I was like super into it. And then my sister wanted this one for Christmas, and I got it for her for Christmas, and I was like, I fell in love with it. So she got it for me for our birthday.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And so then ever since then, I started taking this one with me everywhere I go.
Do you get into crystals at all?
I do. Yeah, I do. I do. Oh my gosh, I forgot my quartz at home. Thanks for reminding me now. Things
problem.
Are going to be out of whack. There's actually a really great store in Union Square.
Oh, really?
I don't remember what it's called, though.
Okay.
But they have all sorts of awesome crystals and books and things like that. I am not super into crystals, but I definitely have, like, rose quartz in my purse.
Isn't the new thing, like, Himalayan pink?
Oh, the salt lamps. I got one of those, too.
Yeah, I really want
I'm
them.
On the
it's
wagon.
It's supposed to, like, keep your air
it's
super
so
pure,
great.
Right?
My yoga studio, they have a bunch of them. And if I practice next to it, it's, like, really calming.
It's
like,
awesome.
Yeah.
What is
it's
it?
Awesome. A Himalayan
make,
salt lamp?
They make them in, like, all these different sizes. They're kind of like...
It ionizes the air.
It could just be placebo, but I...
To
I'm
me, it's
it.
A really awesome nightlight.
Yeah,
honestly.
It's super cool looking.
Yeah.
It's so, and it's just like this like beautiful, warm light. It makes me happier, I think, just by being there.
Yeah.
I don't even know what it really does, but it just makes me happy.
I'll check it out.
They're cool.
So this tarot thing, I had a friend I need to... this is normally something that, you know, I would... would have been less than... in my past world, would have been less than... mature about, but I had a really close friend who was really into it, and she told me that she said, you know, like when you go to people go to a therapist, the therapist doesn't talk, they talk, and they essentially solve their own problems by having somebody listen. She was like, I'm not telling my future with these cards, they're triggering things inside me that I already know. That's how she described the whole process, which made a lot more
sense.
That's
exactly how I feel about it. Like I said, it's like when I like read a card, like I'm thinking about something from a completely unique perspective, or being like, oh, I never thought about that. And then there's also that like whole weird aspect where like I was going through like some darker shit a few months back, and I would be drawing like the same cards like repeatedly, like every day.
That could be spooky.
It's a little, but it, at the same time, like, it was just kind of like, oh shit, like, okay, like maybe I should think about this a little harder today, you know? And I think more than anything it is, it's just that it's kind of like just focusing your attention on something that maybe you haven't thought through all the way.
You're not aware of, but it's
not fortune telling.
Yeah, exactly.
I didn't know that you could self tarot or however you call it, whatever you want to say. Like, I didn't know you could
do readings. Yeah. For yourself.
I never knew that.
I mean, there's creepy cards in there, like the death card or like stuff like that. And it's funny because like a couple of people on tour have asked if I would do readings for them, which I'm terrible at. Like, I'm more than happy to do it, but I'm like, this is the card and this is what it means. What does this mean to you? Like, think about it. You don't have to talk about it. You know what I mean? Like that sort of thing, because it's a private thing to me. Like, I have real no interest in actually like giving readings. It's just something that I do for me for that reason. But yeah, like, I don't think it's fortune telling at all. I think it's like maybe drawing, maybe like, oh, be mindful of this sort of stuff because you never know if an opportunity, obviously it's like reading astrology as well, you know, or like going to see a psychic, or, you know, do I believe that people have kind of like in-tuned abilities that maybe normal people don't, like, you know what I mean? Like your average human, like that doesn't have an interest in that stuff. Maybe there's a heightened sense of, you know, empathy or something like that, or of sensing the future, but I think more than anything, it just forces you to like draw your attention to things that maybe you weren't spending time thinking about. And I think that that's awesome to like think about that when you're trying to write, or when you're stuck on trying to write. You know, like writer's block was so real for me for over a year, and then I was like, oh, well, maybe if this tells me what to think about, I can do it.
It's a cool, I never thought of it as a tool, but I used to kind of write with some guys that. And one of the things that we used to do is when we would get together is give each other assignments. You know, like, write about this.
Brad, go get coffee.
But it was like, it was fabulous because, like, usually the assignment songs were really good. because it's like, if
it's
you're
like
not,
nothing
it's
you like, would ever have
it's like any
of.
Art, you know, if yeah. you're not given restrictions, you yeah. can't do anything, you know, like.
I went to art school and it was like, draw a picture. And you're like, of what? And like everybody else is like, this is awesome. And I'm like, no, I need to know what I'm drawing a picture of. Like, right. I can't. I need a little bit more focus. That's also why my yoga practice sucks, is because I can't go to class.
Yeah.
I need a little bit more direction. I'm so there when I'm there, but like.
That's how I am with any sort of like working out, yoga. I need like structured class.
Yeah.
I need to like be paying
if someone's
somebody,
not forcing me to do
yeah,
it.
Like, oh, I paid for it. I got to go.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I get that. I totally get that. Well, so where does the Kaylee Friend Tour go from here?
Kaylee Friend Tour is. Going to the Museum of Natural History tomorrow.
Nice.
Very excited about it. And then down to Philly for a few days. And then up to Long Island, visit my family.
Okay.
And then that is where I am flying to Europe for a couple of weeks. I'm going to leave my car out there with some relatives.
Nice.
Thought it would be a little nicer than leaving it in Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And just like crossing my fingers, making sure.
That's awesome. And how long are you guys in Europe for this run?
2.5 weeks, so okay. It's pretty short. It's pretty much just all festivals. We're doing a few dates with Gogol Bordello, and then we're doing a few headline dates. And then we come back. Dave's getting married, so I'm going to stay in New York for a few days, then
nice.
Fly to L.A. I figured that'd be cheaper, JFK to LAX, then Nashville. 3 layovers and stuff like that. That's the other thing, Nashville.
I know, you get spoiled in New York, like... Can fly anywhere in the world direct from here.
Yeah, and Los Angeles. Yeah. Nashville is still a small city.
Yeah.
The layover's like crazy.
I know, I can't.
They don't
have
no
the patience
for them. They don't even have a direct flight to New York or LA, which boggles my
really?
Mind.
That's crazy. You have to go to Dallas.
I gotta go
or
to
something?
Boston.
That is so
That's
weird.
So odd.
That's not right.
It sucks.
Maybe your airline doesn't. I've flown direct to Nashville.
Really?
Yeah, for sure. Are you married
Who's
to an airline?
No, I'm not. I do like JetBlue. JetBlue only flies to Boston and then New York.
Right.
No, I'm not married to an airline. Okay. I will.
I don't remember how
I'll sleep around at all the airlines.
That's so awesome playing with the Rune. I love watching him play guitar. He's great.
And I'm singing and playing guitar with him in this group, which is incredibly inspiring and also just kind of like, all right. Are you sure I should play anything?
I just feel like he's one of those guys that also has like such cool gear. Like he's
those
incredible. Like curly patch cords. And I feel like if I had that, it would just look dumb and like it looks
he's,
cool.
He's such, yeah, he has such awesome ideas. And like I've loved kind of working with him and writing with him. And also he was like a savior to me when I had 10 days off between two tours. And I was like, I need a pedal board. And he was like, what do you want? Let's come over. We'll figure this out. And like, so and in a matter of days, I had figured out what I needed. I either like Craigslisted the pedals that I really wanted or like he introduced me to these guys that own Eastside Music in Nashville, which is like the coolest music shop ever. They like wired this thing up. Like it looks so much more pro than I actually am.
Pink Floyd pedal board.
It's so beautiful. Like. It's so basic. It's definitely a baby pedal board, but
Let's geek out. Tell us some of the things that are your favorite pedals.
Well, I actually...
We have guitar players that listen to this.
All right. It's, like I said, it's very small. I also have it set up so that I have my electric guitar, my acoustic guitar, and my keys run out of the same pedal board.
Ooh, nice.
So that I have everything loomed together for my keyboard, and when we play, I just plop everything down, plug everything in, and we're good to go. Because
nice.
Ease of moving everything around is kind of paramount. I have the Earthquaker Bellows, which I love. I don't play too much with Dave because it's very like heavy overdrive, but I do with some of the other stuff. And I'm actually going to start. I'm working with them now as well, and so I need to go shopping after this next tour because I need to get more of their pedals. They're awesome.
They have nice stuff.
They're awesome.
The Earthquaker
They're so
stuff,
great.
Super yeah. nice. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So. I love them. I have an Archer. I have a box
nice.
Of rock. I have an analog delay from Seymour Duncan. And that's pretty much it for my electric guitar.
The Archer is like the clone.
Yeah, it's really cool.
Yeah.
Steve has a really cool pedal board. You can check it out after this. It's here. I use it a lot. Me and Steve have been playing music together, and I use his board, and it's got a lot going on.
I have a Colin clone. No name. I don't know. It looks like the guy made it in the casing that looks like an original clone, but I don't know. It's all bullshit.
Yeah.
Sounds cool.
I've been so far removed from playing electric guitar for the past 5 years that I feel like so much of a noob, but I'm also there's so much cool shit happening with pedals now that I feel like it's totally okay for me to be a noob because it doesn't matter anymore. Exactly.
And they're doing such cool stuff.
Yeah.
It's really fun.
But I go over to a Rune studio and he has everything. essentially when I was I need to get a pedal board together, he's come on over. What are you thinking? And he's just grabbing stuff and just kind of lining everything up. And I just sat there and I was I don't even know what I'm supposed to do with all of this. It was amazing. But yeah, I'm slowly starting to get back into all of that and kind of understanding it a little bit more.
I definitely learned that with pedal boards, going smaller is better.
Well, yeah.
I used to go big.
You completely screw up your signal if you go through too many pedals.
Not only the signal, but do you really need options? Yeah.
So then what are your standbys?
I try to have an overdrive, a fuzz, maybe two overdrives and
a
fuzz.
So what overdrives do you like?
I switch it up. I had the OCD for a while. But
That's what I use.
Yeah, I got over that.
Yeah?
What do I have these days that I'm using? I used a tube screamer for a while.
Classic.
Then the clone. I don't have the $3,000 real clone. And then I just have a delay, a holy grail reverb.
Yeah.
I can't even remember what else I have on there.
Steve's weird pedals where there's no label on it. It's just this great buy.
What does this box do?
Yeah.
Wow. It might be a kit
prototype
put together.
It's a prototype. Can't really tell you what it is.
I have a problem.
I always like having one of those Boss Tremolo pedals. I think those are really cool.
Oh, yeah.
You can
I have
do
a Trem pedal
yeah,
too.
Those are good.
The Trem's cool.
Those are fun. Yeah. So I guess if people want to check out your music, what's the best way?
It's so funny because KayleeGoldsworthy.com. It's a very long name. A lot of letters that you wouldn't expect in there. Or just on Instagram, I think I'm pretty up to date with everything that I'm doing and that my name is Kaylee Goldsworthy on that.
Okay.
Kind of trying to streamline everything, you know,
you have a good name from the sense of probably aren't a lot of other Kaylee Goldsworthy's out there.
There is,
really
on Facebook. I found another one.
Same spelling,
which is funny because I was named after a rock ballad by the band Marillion. And the song is called Kaylee.
Is that a prog rock?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds nice.
My parents are super prog rocky.
Nice.
And the video is just delightful. The song, so good.
Maybe we can link to that.
It's special. It's so special. But yeah, I thought it was unique to find someone named Kaylee Goldsworthy in the UK. It's an English name, Goldsworthy. Right. So
make sure you have the right Kaylee Goldsworthy.
Yeah. I feel like we're Facebook friends because why not?
Yeah,
right?
You should
I think
be.
That's one of those things that early on when Facebook was just developing, you're someone's got my name. We should know each other. Do you know the
related
other Kaylee Goldsworthy? But actually I do. Funny you should ask. All Kaylee Goldsworthys know each other.
Yeah, there's another Jonah Bear.
And are you friends with him?
No, he's way younger and he gave this quote about a bowling alley closing and it was
how did you find him?
I was googling myself.
Yes, that's what I knew. I just wanted you to say it. Yes,
you're getting me back for the yoga question now. That's fair. Yeah, googling myself and I was bowling alley in Pennsylvania is closing and it was this 9-year-old kid's I'm really gonna miss a bowling alley. I was that's a dumb quote.
Was there a minute that you were did I write this?
Sort of. And I was
when was I at a bowling alley?
Yeah, it was really weird. But I mean, for the record, I am dominating this kid on Google.
He doesn't even stand a chance.
Yeah, he is I think he's literally middle school, but very small internet presence compared to me. So
I mean, he's probably full-blown millennial, so you better hope that one day he doesn't just
I know, he's definitely gonna be so much more successful than me.
Did you grab up all of the all the social medias, like the Snapchat, the 4chan.
No, just the .com. I'm holding on to the .com.
Okay.
I just renewed it.
Nice.
Yeah. So
you can sell it to that kid.
So Jonah Bayer, if you're listening, I got it for 5 more years. And then I would be willing to part with it if it was a good offer. But yeah.
Interesting. Yeah. I don't recommend you trying to become Facebook friends with a middle schooler.
Yeah, that might be weird. You're right.
That's maybe hold off a little longer.
Yeah.
Then maybe you can have the friendship that I have with Kaylee Goldsworthy.
That would be amazing.
Who knows?
Good enough. I'm not talking about the podcast. I'm talking about the fact I have to do this clap before we come back in to know when.
Haven't watched the YouTube clip, just watch it on repeat like and the rest of
it. I love explaining
and
it.
Almost, the way Jonah looks when he claps his hand to illustrate for people is almost the way someone in marching band would do the cymbals with no cymbals. Just kind of this awkward sort of, like he has an otter's flat.
It's like a self-fulfilling thing where I'm like, I'm going to fuck this up. Everyone's going to laugh at me and make fun of me. And then that's exactly what happens. I'm 100% right.
Have you ever watched a righty try to throw a pitch with their left hand?
I don't know why I even do it. Why can't someone else do it?
I'll do it. It's easier for me if I do it because it's all about being able to see the fucking clap when I'm editing.
Dude, I'm just trying to keep things moving, you know?
Just and it's to like prove something.
Anyways, sorry about this. Sorry for the unprofessional nature of some of the people on the show.
But listen, that interview was great.
It was great. Fantastic. So thank you to Kaylee for coming by. Check out her solo record Burrower. Check out her on the road with Dave Hawes and the roommate. Dave Hawes and the Mermaid and
Mermaid Roommate. We just made
Mermaid Roommate. And check out all of her music. She's online. You can find her. She's great. If you want to donate to this podcast, you can donate Venmo.
Venmo.
Now I'm doing this thing where I'm like, is it Vimeo or is it Venmo? You can donate at Venmo.
At Off Track.
If you want to watch like some Bon Jovi videos, you can go to Vimeo.
Right. Yeah.
Got it.
And remember, if you donate some money, what do you get, Jonah? Rip-roaring applause.
Oh, yeah. If you want this applause to be for you, let me tell you something. It feels pretty good.
Yeah.
You can turn it up in your car.
You know what we haven't asked for in a while is a review. Hit us up on the iTunes. Write a review.
Do an iTunes review. Give us 5 stars.
Do it all emoji just for kicks.
Yeah.
And be real with us.
Yeah.
Like, please be real.
Like, let's get real here.
I used to get a lot of real stuff.
You did?
Yeah. What was it like? What was my favorite? Steven's annoying extrovert.
I like the one that was like, I just can't listen to this podcast anymore. Jonah's way too Williamsburg, and Steven is a tool.
That was the best one, yes.
Oh, no.
That was a good one.
Oh, no.
Wait, guys.
Was that you?
No. They don't even know. Without the donations, you can't even afford to live in Williamsburg anymore.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, fools.
Exactly.
I am a tool, so fuck you.
But yeah, if you want to donate that way, leave a review. You can also follow us on social media, blah, 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 whatever, everything.
That stuff.
Yeah, but I do want to say, if you do want to advertise on this podcast, please hit us up. We're not doing like a Discord Records purity thing here. No. We just don't know how to get people to pay us.
Yeah, we'll be total sluts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we have no shame.
Yeah.
Fleshlight, come at us.
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.